listeners, I'm Batul Hirsch. Our topic today is a recent event held in Ottawa about a social issue that we are collectively facing, violent extremism. First, let's quickly examine the context. A number of citizens from Western countries are currently engaged abroad with extremist groups. The Globe and Mail reports 180 Canadians are involved. Here's what some individuals have commented regarding this situation.
Extremism is itself a very contested issue because we would like extremists of certain kinds. One could call Mandela an extremist for equality, that he went to jail for 28 years. So it was in a particular form of extremism that started to have problem. But there also the issue was, as long as you only speak extremist ideas, you are still within the boundaries of liberal society. But I think once you have 9/11, you have 7/7, you have ultimately ISIS, that's where violent element comes in. And that's where it became an extremism which takes the violent form. The idea here, which is I think problematic now, particularly with ISIS, but at least it's that you start with a radicalization, you become an extremist, and then in some cases you may become violent extremist. So the violent extremist really becomes, you cross the boundary of, in a way, law and liberality, because you are now imposing through violence.
I wonder whether it's worth asking whether there are some valuable distinctions in types of violence. You have to ask, is there a distinction between just the criminal action and the sort of connection of it with some cause?
I think that we do have a real challenge ahead of us in trying to define precisely what this phenomenon is, but I'm concerned that this is happening in human minds, for reasons which are mysterious to most of us, but we're dealing with minds that have decided that not even their life is of particular value to them anymore, and that in the process of probably hurling their life into oblivion in the name of whatever cause they have adopted, they also want to take the lives of other people with them. And that's what's special about this. That's what is particularly alarming.
The main response of governments to violent extremism has been military. They have spoken about developing non-military approaches, but we appear to be far from producing a successful model. On February 4th and 5th of 2016, a workshop was held at Carleton University to discuss this issue, but in a different and unique manner. The Carleton Center for the Study of Islam, in collaboration with the Intercultural Dialogue Institute of Ottawa and the Canadian Council of Muslim Women, held the gathering to examine the viability of a religious literacy approach encountering vulnerable youth's attraction to violent extremism. The event was the first of its kind in the country. It mobilized the expertise of more than 100 individuals from universities, government, schools, civil society associations, and Christian and Muslim institutions. The workshop began with the identification of the problem, moving on to defining the contextual background of religious literacy, and then led to intensive discussion sessions involving every single participant in the workshop. The first session asked about the risks posed by violent extremism to Canadian youth. Let us hear the perspectives of the participants whose identities will remain anonymous.
I think we need to look more broadly at how to support marginalized youth in general and Muslim youth, not with a view to averting radicalization, but simply as a view to bettering their lives, their opportunities, their chances in the world. And I think more focus on that is needed than just to think about this small case of violent extremism. Why aren't we focusing on the broader issues of racism, Islamophobia, underemployment, disenfranchisement?
Parents are not engaging. They don't have the tools. So I have a lot of students where when the example number one, when the shootings in Ottawa happened last year, and example number two, when the Paris attacks happened in 2015, about one out of 40 students talked about it in school with their teachers. None of them talked about it with their friends, and no one talked about it at home. And that was the huge concern, because do parents have the tools for that? Do students embrace their identity, or do they shy away from it? Do they not want to read the Quran because it's so closely attached to this radicalization that they're seeing in the media, right? And that's a whole other layer, the media that tells them how to react to their own faith. But then there's also the risk posed to the general public, the kinds of questions that are asked by the public because of radicalization.
I think if you look at how many Canadian youth have gone towards radicalism, it's comparatively few. The threat, I think, comes more to the Muslim community as a whole, because they are seen to be associated with it, as you see with Bill C-51.
The second session of the workshop focused on the role of religious literacy in enhancing resilience against violent extremism.
I'm all for religious literacy if we can actually come together and talk about what are the commonalities. So rather than putting one faith under a microscope and placing that faith in that position of having to bear the burden of representation, why cannot we all come forward and come out with, hey, these are the lines of commonality. Hey, this is where we could build something.
What I see is a lack of literacy right now, though. So people are having a hard time, whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, navigating the different worlds. I do think religious literacy, like financial literacy, it's like over the top, but it sure would help to broaden the debate and open doors.
It's one thing to be aware of people's faith traditions. This is what they believe, this is their system. What I'm talking about going deeper than that. I'm talking about being literate about the nature of religion, regardless of what religion we're talking about. So we have to think about religion as a human phenomenon, as a human construct. So religions may be divinely revealed, and they have their laws, and they have their regulations. But what we need to see is what meanings are human beings constructing around it, and how does their environment shape that construction.
The third and final session discussed the roles of civil society, educators, government, religious institutions, and other societal actors in enhancing resilience against violent extremism.
We feel reluctant to turn to our neighbors and ask direct questions of them. We're afraid of offending and looking ignorant, and it's a question of other. There's some fear. That barrier, I don't know how it developed and if anybody in particular is at fault, but the barrier is there. And I think religious leaders have a responsibility, and perhaps civic leaders have a responsibility to help our different communities come together in forums for open discussion.
When I was going to high school in Ontario, in Toronto, years and years ago, we used to have a course called World Religions. It's still taught today. But the thing is, it's an elective course. Maybe that's something that should be considered a mandatory course.
I think to that point, one of the challenges, though, and this is a point that was raised earlier today, is that world religion classes, they're valuable, but they approach religion, again, from a very disconnected perspective. It's sort of a critical thinking perspective of religion, a sociological perspective of religion, rather than, in my experience with those types of courses, rather than actually engaging with the human aspect of religion, the faith aspect of religion.
It's become okay in certain circles for politicians to flout with credibility that their understanding of the attacks is saying, well, these people do not share our Western values. That cannot fly anymore. It should be inexcusable to be able to say these really simplistic notions that are often coming not just from sort of the one sound clip where someone finds the most agitated, disenfranchised European, but someone who's the leader of maybe one of the third largest parties. And I think that helping de-radicalize polities, large polities, to their own perceptions of what Islam is and their own country's acceptance of newcomers could be a really good step.
The workshop serves as a first step towards contributing to the global effort to avert violent extremism. Thanks for tuning in.